welcome to our Lone Star Podcast for Tuesday, August 11th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatale, coming to you from the little house on the east side, sitting at the kitchen table today. The family have gone out for a few days, so I have reverted to my old office right here in the kitchen. Very excited to be talking about a loaded day of racing. I like this the modern thoroughbred landscape, that we can have a big stakes racing day on a Tuesday. And that's what we have at Lone Star today. So we're not just going to talk about the early double like we typically do on these shows. We're going to look into the four stakes races later in the card as well. Once again, running at night due to excessive heat in the great state of Texas. And back for the third day in a row. Not too many guests have I ever had three shows in a row. He's given some great insights, put you off an overbet horse yesterday and gave you the winner of the second leg. He writes for us over at the In The Money podcast.com blog. He's John Pinder. John, how are you today?
Doing well, PTF.
Very good to have you back on these airwaves. We've got you got a little bit of a streak to live up to now. You up for the challenge?
Let's do it, brother.
I like it. And we also have joining us the VP. We know him from so many places. He's a contest player in his own right. He's been a racetrack executive. These days, he is the VP of CJ Thoroughbreds. He is CJ Johnson. CJ, how are you?
I'm doing great, PTF. How are you doing, bud?
Things are good. It's looking forward to betting some Lone Star, getting the week off to the right kind of start. I should also mention that the Beat Spencer Challenge over on StableDuel continues tonight. He cooled off a little bit yesterday. A few more people got into this $250 free roll, but there is a $5 Lone Star game tonight. Download the StableDuel app and check that out. But CJ, before we dive into these races, I did want to just ask you about some of the stuff going on at the internationally renowned CJ Thoroughbreds. You guys have had runners succeeding all over the world, most recently this past weekend at Saratoga. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on with the operation and fill us in on some of the recent high points.
Yeah, we we started kind of getting more involved in the ownership aspect about 3 years ago. And, you know, now due to a great group of partners and all that, we're up to about 40 horses in training. And, you know, the pandemic obviously hit us hard. And it's getting kind of crazy now because everything, you know, is starting to really ramp back up and, you know, we're running a lot more. But yeah, we, you know, this group of 2-year-olds we have, we bought 11, you know, we got a homebred in there as well up at Woodbine with Cassie. But the 2-year-olds have been great. We won with our first two down at Gulfstream. You know, the one went over to Ascot. Unfortunately, that turf got really soft and, you know, she went to the lead and just... Unfortunately, when you got a tiz now out of an Uncle Mo mare, you know, running on soft turf, it doesn't really work out all the time. So she didn't run that great, but she came back last week and, 2 weeks ago and ran second in the Colleen Stakes at Monmouth. And, you know, with 2-year-olds, it's tough to find spots to run them after they've broken their maiden. And, you know, being a tiz now out of an Uncle Mo mare, she's probably not a sprinter. And that's Flying Aletha, by the way, but we're going to point her to the, Kentucky Downs Juvenile Fillies, going a mile in the grass. We think she'll be better stretching out, kind of use that speed on that, Kentucky Downs course. And then the other one's Amanzi Yampilo, who we own in partnership with Susan Moulton and Mark DeTample. And she is going to, right now she's on track for the Bolton Landing at Saratoga, next Wednesday. And, you know, then we've got, you know, the other 2-year-olds are all kind of starting to, they're not as early as those two. So, you know, we'll give them some time. But, yeah, we finally got our first win at Saratoga last Friday. I know it was a maiden claiming 40, but I don't care what, you know, what you say, that a win at Saratoga is a win at Saratoga. And that was, you know, that filly's been pretty frustrating. We know she has talent. She got second behind Finite at Kentucky Downs in a maiden special weight. You know, so we knew it was there. We couldn't really put it all together. So to watch her dig down like that after the cavalry charge came flying down the lane and hang on, that was really special. And then we've got, you know, Sally's Curlin, who's our grade 3 winner. She's pointing to the Derby City Distaff on Derby Day. And she ran the Madison at Keeneland. You know, thought we were going to get a little more pace to run into. But didn't get it. And obviously Guarana is a you know, she's a very, very nice filly. So hopefully that Derby City distaff will get a little more pace to run into and have a shot. And she's running right out of her stall. So, you know, she's based at Churchill, loves running there. I think that longer stretch will help her out. But yeah, and then also you mentioned Ascot, but we also have a couple runners over in Scandinavia, and we won a race in Norway last month. And that filly came back last week and actually got second, beaten by a nose to a, you know, a nice colt who was the favorite. So we're kind of, you know, my father's full-blooded Norwegian. He's always wanted to run horses over there. So that's kind of.
I was going to ask the connection.
Yeah, that's the angle there. We bought a few at Tattersall's last year with the goal of trying to win a race or two, you know, in Norway. And it's very interesting to watch those races, though, because I have no idea what that announcer's saying. You know, I just kind of look for their name, and it's totally different kind of racing, too. You know, she ran 2 miles last time, and you don't see that much over here. But no. No, but it's still fun. It's fun getting exposed to, you know, racing all over the place. So
very, very cool. Well, there's a lot of good stuff for people to put in their stable mail over at Daily Racing Form or keep track of. I'd especially highlight that idea of Flying Aletha with that pedigree. I feel like that Kentucky Downs course, that might end up being a perfect spot. So something to pay attention to for sure. Okay, let's dive into these races. John, we're going to start off with you. Our first race, we've got three and up, $20,000 claimers going 7.5 on the Lone Star Turf. How are we going to kick off the card tonight?
Let's get started with the number 9, Pete, Chikara. I think she looks really, really tough in this spot. She's got a good versatile running style and should be able to make her own trip with that and seal the deal. She would be my top pick, and then for right behind her, both of these horses aren't going to give much value, but I also like the number 1 Brandon's Babe to if not win it, get a piece, maybe come second or third.
Timeform US, I noticed, does have the pace as being hot, and I think that could serve both of the ones you mentioned, John, the 9 Chikara or the 1 Brandon's Babe, both of whom do have a little bit of finish, and I do like that tactical foot that Chikara has displayed as well. CJ, how about you? How are we going to get this early double kicked off tonight?
Yeah, I think Jonathan's spot on with Chikara. You know, like you said, not going to be much of a price. And, you know, this pace, it's kind of a weird thing. Yeah, Timeform has the pace as fast. If and I know this is crazy, but underneath, maybe include the 2, because if that horse gets loose, you know, I'm not saying it could win, but it actually did run a good, you know, race, 7.5 on the turf back at Louisiana Downs, ran okay, you know, but I'm gonna go with Chikara on top. You know, I was going to say, I talked to Matt Hebert last night, and he's going to scratch the 12, because that's one thing to keep an eye out with Matt. He never, ever enters unless his horse is 110%, and she's just not there right now, and he's going to save her for Remington. I think the 10 Miss B, if that, you know, trip is fat, that pace is fast, she could definitely get a piece. You've got a good trainer, good jockey, you know, 2 back, went a mile and got beat by a length in a state bred allowance race. You know, that horse could obviously trip out as well. I'm kind of there with Chikara, and then, you know, look at Miss B, the 10. And then we'll stick with those two for right now.
You mentioned Run Ballerina, the 2, as a possible underneath play. That makes sense to me because, you know, we can see the speed signed on, and of course, jockeys and their agents and trainers, they handicap 2. And if everybody decides, oh, there's a ton of pace, and Run Ballerina stretching out from the 5 on the dirt, gets the ability to be out there alone, who knows? Maybe she can hang on for a piece. This Arkansas bred, who does have 18 starts, just 1 win, but 9 seconds. That could be an interesting idea for a big balloons underneath play. But in terms of the early double, probably a bridge too far. Let's move on to our second race, and CJ, we're going to keep this one with you. We've got a 3 and up claimers, 7,500 going 7 furlongs on this Lone Star Dirt. What do you like here?
Yeah. I think DARPA is going to be tough, but I got some questions there. Last race, I mean, this mare just, she wasn't asked at all out of the gate and made the lead very easy. I'm not saying the pace is going to be fast in this race, but, you know, she is moving up a little bit in class. Obviously, Deodoro is a very good trainer. I think she'll be too short of a price. I think the, kind of the 4, 5, and 7 are going to go out there, but I like the 6. Definitely could, you know, come from behind. And then you've got the 7, obviously. She's stepping up a little bit. Not sure, though, if, you know, I'm kind of worried about that pace pressure. Yeah, this one, this is a tough race because it's another one where you just don't know how this pace is going to exactly set up. I mean, you got horses dropping, come stepping up, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the 1 looks tough as well. I'm probably going to end up going with the 7 M&M girl. And I got to say, you know, Danny Pish is a great trainer, but if you're looking at jockeys at Lone Star, pay attention to Lane. I know he's on a 7-2 shot here, but Lane Luzzi puts his horse in position no matter what the odds are. He puts that horse in position to win, and he will carry them across the finish line. So even if he's on, you know, something that's a double-digit price, take an extra look at the horse because he, you know, he doesn't ride for any of the top trainers out there. You know, the big guys, the Broberg, the Deodoro, the Asmussen, but he's got a great win percentage, and the kid can really ride.
That's a great point, and certainly his followers have done well in this meet, and that's a smart way to look at the world, too, when you're talking about jockeys and their stats, is obviously a certain amount of a jockey's win percentage is going to come from the fact that they're riding in the big barns, and when you've got somebody winning races in bunches the way Luzzi has this meet, who doesn't have that benefit, that is something to pay a little extra attention to. John Pinder, do you see this with any more clarity than CJ in terms of being able to lock onto one with this muddy pace scenario we're talking about in our second race at Lone Star tonight?
I was, Pete, but it was only after going over this race a couple times. I was super excited because kind of the other two shows we've done, it's been a lot of chalk in the first couple of legs. So I was excited to see a good contest here in the second leg. I'm going to latch on to the 3. Dust World Wonder. She's been working really well for this barn that she moved over to, Mr. Gustafsson's, and then gets Stuart Elliott. So I think between that combination, she's dropping from an allowance back into claiming, and she's got just a progressive style that I like to see. And that 7 furlong distance can be a little tricky. So I think with all those factors, she's going to be the one that I go to. But agree with Mr. CJ for sure that this is a tough race. If not the 3, I think the 1. She's definitely not afraid to pass horses and got good connections. So for me, I'd go 3-1 in here.
3-1 for John, and that'll conclude our look at the early double. We will zip along later to the card. This will be some fairly late night stuff we're talking about on the East Coast, but hey, as I can envision, I know our listeners, and I know plenty of them will be burning the midnight oil and looking at Saratoga for the next few days, and you might as well be wagering on Lone Star while you do it. Our 7th race tonight is the, what is it called? It is the Fiesta Mile. It is a $50,000 stakes race, 3 and up, Texas Breds going 1 mile on the turf. And John, we'll keep it with you for these 3 and up fillies and mares. What do you think about this 10 horse field? Did I lose you, John?
No, I did a Jonathan Kinchin and I was on mute.
Because you said that, now I'm tempted to leave it in. But we'll see. One way or the other, who do you like in the 7th race?
I like the 6, Corlina, in this spot, Pete. I think she's a 5-year-old in good form. I think she's the class. She was just off. She's only been off the board one time at Lone Star. Looks really good. I also like the 2. She and the 6 for me are almost one and the same. The 2 is on the improve, and if she now and as a 4-year-old can improve just a little bit, she'll be right there with the 6. So the 2 and the 6 for me.
2 Herbs Love and the 6, who is named Corluna, for John Pinder to kick this race off. There is, I should have pointed this out, there is a pick four connecting our graded stakes races tonight. CJ, how do you see yourself kicking it off?
Herb's Love, last time, 7.5 was just too short with her. You know, that mile and 16th, two back where she won the San Jacinto, that was, you know, that was a, that's her preferred distance, kind of a mile 16th. I'm leaning on her as my top pick, but I hate eating chalk, so I'm going to, but I also think, you know, the six will take a lot of money. I don't know if the two is going to go if it's a favorite, but the five as well. Look, she's only been on turf three times, you know, she's a veteran, but she could get loose on the lead. This turf course is pretty tough. It's hard. You know, if she gets an easy lead and pricks her ears up, the pedigree doesn't scream turf, but it doesn't, you know, totally turn you off of, you know, the turf part of it. I think, you know, Discreet Cat's fine. Too Much Bling as well as the Broodmare Sire. So there's, you know, in Broberg, that's one thing I've learned about him. I've walked into Lone Star before, not looked at a race, seen him at 9-1 and put $10 to win on him, and he romps. You know, he spots his horse as well. He's always live. And then, you know, kind of keep an eye out on G-She Sparkles, the 9 on the outside. I think the added distance will help her as well. But yeah, I'm going with the 2. Then kind of, you know, if you want to play the pick 4, maybe sprinkle in the 5, 6 and 9.
I like it. Let's talk about our 8th race. We go to the 2-year-old ranks, 5.5 furlongs on the dirt. This is the Texas Thoroughbred Futurity. John Pinder, we'll head back to you for your thoughts on this one. Couple of horses project to dominate the market, at least according to the morning line, in Island Sun and Hewlin. Will it be one of those for you, or do you think there's a chance they could maybe go a little too fast and set it up for something from off the pace?
In this race, Pete, for me, it was Hewlin, the 7, coming out of that grade 3 at Churchill, the Basher Manor. He is just the class of this field. The pace was really hot, and he's going to be able to hang on here, and he's going to be my single. If I get involved with a pick 4, he would be the one that I'd single.
So strong preference for Hewlin. For John, CJ, how about you? Do you think Island Sun or any of these others can give him a run for his money here?
Yeah, so I watched Steve do this, when was it, a few weeks ago, a month ago, and he just dominated these 2-year-old races. I think there was another stakes day where there were 4 stakes, and I think him and Stewart won the first 3. He's got so many in here. This one is unbelievably tough because I think, you know, Island Sun, very fast. I mean, can't discount Bobby Brinkley winning last out by 10.5. He's fast as well, and then, you know, the 7 also is fast. This is probably going to be a little crazy, but the 3, the other asked me, so with Keith, his son, on. Now, Keith is you know, just started riding, and super, super good kid, super smart, but I've made money off, you know, betting against him because he does have a lot to learn with riding. Now, he's got raw talent, but this race, he might be able to just sit the trip, and at 5-1, I don't see why not take a play. You know, and I agree with Jonathan about, you know, probably maybe play a press ticket singling one of these Asmussens, and then maybe get creative on another one with the 3 if you can get a price. But I don't see Asmussen losing this, and I know that's no fun of me to say, but you know, it's one of those 3, really. And I think if Keith, I think he won 2 the other day, so I think he's starting to kind of figure it out too.
I wouldn't consider him a negative at all. I know what you're saying, because it's because of the barn and the, mm-hmm. the drama of him trying to get the win. I do think they were overbet for a minute, so that idea of betting against him wasn't crazy just from a market standpoint. But I don't mean anything against him as a rider by saying that. As horse players, we have to react to what the market gives us. So I totally understand and don't think you lose a thing.
And Keith, if you hear this, you know, again, I love you, but he's worked some of our horses in the morning with Steve. So he's a great kid, but I like him here. I like him in this spot. You know, I think he can just sit just off, and if this pace is crazy fast, he's going to get first run on.
I'll give you a goofy one in here. We talk so much about the lone speed angle. We don't always talk about the lone closer. Now, I know it's sharp, and there's some tough horses in here. So maybe this is one more for an underneath play, but one that I would at least have in for a penny on top. And that's Policy Limit. We were just talking about Lane Luzzi as a judge of pace. And here's a horse who you go back and you look at the race the last day. That's a lot of ground to make up, especially infractions that were coded blue on Timeform US and did get within hailing distance of Island Sun. So this is one I think could be all of that double digit of the morning line who should be running late, and I'll at least use for a penny on top and in vertical. So
no, I 100% agree. And that owner is actually coming to he's driving up from Houston. He's going to be in our suite tonight. So
funny.
Yeah. So I'm definitely pulling for him. Also, the owner of Herb's Love, too. So,
that's very cool.
Sam's a great guy. So,
that's awesome. It's good to get some of this local institutional knowledge. I should have mentioned again that you're another Texas bred. I think every single guest we've had on these Lone Star shows hails for and or lives in the state of Texas. I'm kind of proud of that. I almost. And I don't know, maybe these are fighting words down there, but I almost feel like I get to say I'm an honorable Texan as a result of
Pete. Absolutely, you are, man. And actually, JK and I grew up in the same area. I went to Colleyville. I moved to another city right next door, and he went to Colleyville, and I went to college with a bunch of his buddies, and we kind of didn't know this until him and I connected, whatever that was, 8 years ago or so. And so, we have a bunch of mutual friends. Yeah.
Let's talk about our ninth race tonight. We stick with two-year-olds. This is the Texas Thoroughbred Futurity, the other division here. And we've got 5.5 on the dirt once again. The fillies. CJ, we'll keep it with you. We've got a big odds-on favorite here on the morning line in Candy Ginger, who won by more than 6 on debut. Is it as simple as Candy Ginger to the hoop, or is there a chance to be creative here?
Yeah, again, I think it is. And I've seen Steve do this too many times with his two-year-olds. It comes in and just sweeps it. Austin, this Onimusha, she's a nice filly. I think it's going to be tough, but I think this is pretty straightforward. I mean, this filly just stands out. Cantharos being a hot sire. She wasn't cheap by any means, $60,000 Keeneland grad. And did Steve train Cantharos too, didn't he? So, I mean, there's an angle for you. So, I think it's that simple, really.
Now, John, you've already tipped your hand that you said your single was in the previous race. So I'm guessing that means you think that the Candy Ginger can at least be not singled and have include something else included to go along with her here, or do you think she's actually vulnerable in the spot?
No, Pete, I don't think she's vulnerable. I think she's going to get the job done. Actually, I was seeing this race, as Mr. CJ was talking about the previous race, I was seeing that very much in this race where Stuart Elliott came off of Great Affection is now on Candy Ginger. Just that angle with Keith being, up and coming and not the top rider that he will be one day, and giving Stuart this mount was kind of my ceiling deal for Candy Ginger. But I also like the one Swift Redbird also, maybe as a backup, because we are getting pretty chalky and singling here with two strong favorites back to back. So I'd put her in as well.
What's your case on Swift Redbird? Debuted in a stakes race last time, did manage to hit the board at a big price. What kind of run were you seeing from her? What reasons did you see for potential improvement?
I thought she ran really well in the lane. She got a little green and the jockey had to really tighten up on the reins and get her back going. But for a second there, I thought that she was going to pass. So that's strictly for me watching the race replay and thinking that she can second time out improve and be competitive.
Certainly we'll be getting a good price and one that could also be included underneath. Mm-hmm. This pick four is going to pay off with our 10th race. We stay in a stakes. We've got the Texas Horse Racing Hall of Fame, 50,000 in the pot, a mile and a 16th on the turf. CJ, we'll go back to you, and I'll ask the question I always like to ask on these shows. How are we going to get paid?
They've got the seven is will be tough, but I think there'll be some pace, you know, to run into. There's a mile and a 16th. Mindy Willis is a great trainer. You know, the four is going to take a ton of money. I think I'm going to just try and beat her, just hope for some trouble trip. I think that's the best horse, you know, in the race, the four and the seven on paper, obviously. But with these mile and 16ths in a full field, you know, you got to have the perfect trip. I'm going to throw out a crazy long shot, the 11 at 20-1 Calhoun. You know, this horse, first time on the turf, last time out on a mile, won. And Arami is a great rider. You know, Calhoun, he's a very, very good trainer. But I think, and then another one I'm gonna go out there with is three, the other Mindy Willis, Kenai Bob. You know, another one that weakened a little bit last out on the grass. The only thing is the pedigree, and that might, but you know, if this one gets loose on the lead again, it could wire. But I think she's going to take pressure from the nine, and if that's the case, you know, the six, Steve could have, you know, put that nine in as a rabbit for the six to set up for the six. I think the six has a great shot as well. This is going to be a really tough race, and I think you can get paid here. You know, maybe you play a pick four, more than a 50-cent pick four, and, you know, single some Asmussen's in the juvenile race and spread later on. But I'm definitely going to try and beat the favorites here. And if, you know, if I'm reading this right, that the nine is going to pressure the three, and maybe that sets it up for the six. And then again, my long shot's the 11.
I think you make a good point, and there's reason to think this race could play out very differently than the last time a lot of these opposed. Again, just mm-hmm. looking at Timeform US, fractions coded blue last time, that maybe compromised the chances of your six right lane Lukaj. And now this time around, with the projected fast pace, and then you make the case that the Timeform pace projector doesn't even take into account that you could have a little bit of team tactics going on. Maybe it can set up for a horse like the six coming from off the pace. And I thought you made a compelling case for your 11 as well. Second time on the turf, chance to improve again, and maybe could end up taking over and being the best of speed. So yeah. if things go just right. So I like your reading of this race, and I'm definitely more excited to get involved. I was admittedly a little uncreative in my initial looking at it, but I definitely like the idea of including your six and your 11 there. John Pinder, how about you? What do you see happening in our nightcap tonight at Lone Star Park?
Agreed. We've been, or at least I've been pretty chalky in my picks here. And if you're going to get involved with the late pick four, going with number four, Sunlit Song, you know, you're not going to get a lot of money. So let's get creative. I also think it's a very competitive race outside of potentially the four, likes to come from off of the pace. Three, Kenai Bob, I think, can potentially get loose. I'm trying to figure out an angle, right? When you're looking at all these races, what's going to happen contrary to the favorite. She likes to definitely sit from off of it. And if she gets in any kind of trouble or can't get there late, I'm looking for the three to be there. Also, number five, Gold Pilot, has never been on the turf, but I think that just from his running style, looks like that he wouldn't be opposed to it. And like Mr. CJ mm-hmm. said, Mr. Brent Calhoun can definitely get him ready, and he gets a top jock aboard as well. So the three and the five for me in this pick.
All right, good. This is good. We've got real quick, good price ideas. You like the sound of that?
Let me add another one real quick to the eight, Mujab Jr. You know, he's going to be coming from way out of it. But if this pace is hot, you know, in the three and the nine hook, I think he, at least that's an underneath play. You know, if you're going to play a try or a super or something, maybe an exacta too, I'd keep him underneath as well. I mean, that horse, he can move. I think he'll appreciate that added ground. So only thing is the pedigree, but he's been running well on the turf. So
Yeah, once they have form to run to, that concerns me less. It was a big price last time, but again, in a fairly slow-paced race, ended up getting up for third. There's reasons to see that form reversed. So I like your guys' ideas, and I think in my own play, I'm going to treat this as a spread race. I'll stand against the favored 4 and the 7, and I like the idea of the 3, the 5, the 6. Maybe, you know, if I get skinny enough elsewhere, 3, 5, 6, 8, 11 isn't crazy. So yeah. That might be the direction I'm looking to close out this Lone Star Pick 4. All right, gentlemen, I appreciate all your time and effort here today going over these 6 races, the early double and the late Pick 4. CJ, sounds like you're going to be in the house tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm heading out there for sure. And then I've got 2 in tomorrow to end the meet. So we had a tough meet, you know, with the pandemic, canceling, all that kind of stuff. You know, didn't do as well as we did last year. So hopefully we can get lucky tomorrow. Yeah, we just finally got our first win at the meet last week. I mean, we were 7-1, so it definitely was okay, you know, for my pocketbook. But it was, it's just been a tough one, man, trying to, you know, spot these horses right and, you know, having them in the right spot, canceling, all that kind of stuff. Injuries. I mean, I had a monster 2-year-old Texas bred that, you know, we were pointing to this Futurity tonight. And fortunately, he had came up with tendonitis. So he's just back to galloping. And he's a beautiful Euro ears colt that we bought at Keeneland last year. So hopefully,
His name for people's stable mail?
His name is Euro Rockstar.
It's a great name.
He is a beautiful, beautiful horse. We got him for a steal at Keeneland last year. So we were going to sell him as a 2-year-old and decided to keep him. So yeah. So anyways, hopefully we can get a win tomorrow night.
I like it. We'll be rooting for you. And John, thank you not just for today, but for all your contributions this week. Hopefully we'll get you writing for the blog this weekend and get you back on another show soon.
Sounds good, PTF. Happy to help.
All right, good stuff. So I'll thank John Pinder one more time. Thank CJ Johnson one more time. Thank our friends at Lone Star Park. We've got one more Lone Star show coming to you tomorrow. JK will be back, and we'll be talking about the early double once again. Before I finish my thank yous, once again, to thank all the listeners for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kitchen. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.